You are about to hear a 15-minute free preview of the latest bonus show to hit our Patreon-only podcast feed. Top Rope Nation Patreon members have access to multiple members-only podcasts every single month, including at least one new show each and every week. This includes new episodes of TRN Classics, TRN Unplugged, and TRN Extra, plus ad-free versions of our weekly flagship show, merchandise giveaways, virtual hangouts, and other benefits. So in order to support us and ensure Top Rope Nation continues well into the future, and to gain access to all of these great benefits and exclusive shows, join the Patreon page now. You can get full access for just $5 per month. Click that link in the broadcast description to learn more and enjoy this free preview of one of our latest Patreon bonus shows. It is the 65th edition of Top Rope Nation Classics, going back to WWF Backlash 2000. And for the first time in 23 days, Justin Joint is back on the program. He's been off the flagship since WrestleMania 41, night one.
Night one, yeah. Boy, the shit really hit the fan as far as my life is gone. Basically, night two, water started streaming into my living room. And I've been dealing with that, among other things. So it's just been one headache after another.
Well, we are damn glad to have you back.
Yes. Happy to be here.
Well, we're going to be talking about the state of sports in 2000 here in just a second as we go back to Backlash 2000. Now, I know we have recently kind of covered this because we did Royal Rumble 2000 a few months ago. So we'll probably breeze through that. Of course, we'll get into pop culture and all of that. But Justin, state of your fandom in the spring of 2000, where are we at in life?
Let's see here. 2000, I would have been a freshman in college taking, I definitely took a rollerblading class. I took a movie class. My attendance wasn't great. I eventually dropped out because I was so scared shitless of my oral communications speech class, of having to get up in front of other people, that I just dropped out of college completely until I learned they had a stage fright version, and I eventually made my way back and graduated. But as far as my wrestling fandom goes, I don't know if it probably was ever higher than this time frame. You know, we were kind of coming out of the Monday Night Wars, which was the most exciting time for people our age as far as wrestling goes. But WrestleMania 2000 was the first pay-per-view I bought all on my own money at, I watched it at a buddy's house, but I paid for it because I was so excited for that show. And then I didn't buy another pay-per-view for a very long time because that show sucked.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this was a time when I think my fandom for WCW was long, kind of waning by this point, but you know, I'm watching Monday Night Raw every Monday and, just eating all of this up.
Yeah. No, I mean, well said. I think we're in the dying days of the Monday Night Wars at this point in time. Of course, WCW is still around for about another 11 months, but man, things were getting real bad. And if you want to know how bad they got, go back last summer and listen to our Bash at the Beach 2000 TRN Classics that we did last July. WCW 2000, not a whole lot of fun. Not a whole lot of fun. I think we got Jesse back here.
I think it was almost at this exact same time as Backlash that they were doing kind of the complete teardown reset, where Bischoff and Fucknuts took all the titles and kind of reimagined everything.
Yeah. I was briefly interested in that for about one night.
Same. Same. I was super pumped for it. I wanted to see the Hogan and Kidman feud, but that was a real shit show.
Show off that can there, Jesse. What do you got? Okay.
Oh, nice.
Made you full screen so we could see a little better. West no Coast fish Pilsner hunt. Steel. All right.
Interesting. I like Pilsners, but I guess I don't know what a West Coast one would entail.
I'm going to go full screen on this.
I couldn't tell you. Yeah, I'm not definitely. I'm not a Pilsner aficionado. Let's see it, Ryan.
You both will like what I'm drinking tonight.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Ooh, baby.
From Single Speed and Pulpit Rock Brewing, it is Coconut Migration, which they had at Single Speed Brewery, which we went to for Mother's Day this past Sunday. I have not seen this in the actual stores in years, I don't think.
Yeah.
But once in a while, they'll have it only at the brewery. They had it on tap. I checked the cooler, and they had 4 packs of Tall Boys, so I had to pick it up. And then also, let me take a swig because I don't want to spill this. Hold on a second.
Screw it. I'm going to Single Speed on Saturday night. I'm doing it. I got to get some Coconut Migration.
Oh, yeah. Now take a look at the glass that I poured this in.
Ooh.
The Electric Fetus, Minneapolis, a great record store. Yeah, that's when I was up there. I don't remember when that was now, a month or so ago for a dance event. I told Jesse I was heading there, and he knew of it, of course, because it was Prince's favorite record store, apparently, and pretty cool place. So I picked up a beer glass while I was there, among some other things.
Didn't he go there in his last, 24, 48 hours? Rode his bike to that place? Yeah,
pretty sure. It's a cool spot. Yeah, worth checking out for sure. Definitely, very touristy. But man, it's huge. They got a good selection of vinyl and lots of just little knickknacks and stuff. I really liked it. So I was thinking of you guys as I picked this out tonight. They'll appreciate the Coconut Migration, and Jesse will appreciate the nod to Minneapolis here. So there you go.
Delicious beer and a nice glass.
Yes. Jesse, I was asking Justin the state of his fandom in April 2000. You give us your thoughts here.
All over the map. I know I was ending my freshman year after my gap year at community college, headed into the University of Minnesota in September. So I was split between, it was 60-65% WWF, 35-40% ECW still.
Well, you were hanging on to the bitter end, huh, buddy?
With ECW?
Yeah.
Always. Yeah. I was diehard at that point, 98 until the bitter end. It was really fun to watch. But yeah, the transition during this time in 2000 with all the names that have already been in the promotion for about 3.5 months really drew me in because they were some of my favorite in-ring workers at this time. So that always helped. And I thought it was just a nice refreshing blend from we weren't getting much in-ring work from the WWF in 1998 and 9. So getting these guys in, I thought, was a great change of pace and made these shows better, at least for a little while.
I mean, that seems to be a theme on some of these shows where we, in fact, just one of the last ones we did, WrestleMania 12, where you see this influx of new talent, and when it's utilized correctly, it can completely change the trajectory of a promotion. You know, I think back to there was 96, early 96, that right now, 2000, Radicals, Chris Jericho is still relatively new. Trish Stratus is here. I can't remember. I think it was a 90 or 89 Wrestle War we covered where it was the same deal. You know, they had a bunch of new talent come in. It makes me wonder if years down the road, God willing, if we're covering AEW Revolution 2024, we're going to be talking about Okada showed up, Ospreay showed up, Sasha Banks showed up, and it completely changed AEW.
Yeah.
Taz showing up here too, in January. Dudley's were obviously the summer before. Yeah, and then also a couple of weeks prior, Shelton Benjamin and Brock Lesnar signed with the promotion and were headed to OVW or Memphis. I can't remember where they were headed, but yeah, so the farm system was starting to stock up at that point too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was a sophomore in high school in the spring of 2000. Big time. I mean, it's really weird. I was thinking about this as I was watching this because I know I was really into wrestling and never missed Raw, for sure. SmackDown was not just, Justin will remember this. We never got SmackDown. We didn't have UPN. Mm-hmm. At one point in time around this period, they started airing it. I think it was on our Fox channel, but it was on really late at night. I want to say midnight. Maybe on a Saturday night, it was out of its time slot. If you really stayed up or you taped it, you could watch it. So I wasn't able usually to watch SmackDown, but I never missed Raw. Was watching ECW by now because they'd already debuted on TNN. You know, so I was, that was probably my number two, and WCW a far three at this point, you know, but it's strange to me because I never missed Raw. And yet as I was watching this show and they were showing some of the clips of things that were happening on TV, I had no memory of some of this stuff, like at all. I didn't remember it, period. I, even for the main event angle, it's like, I don't remember any of this happening. I don't even remember seeing the clips. And it's so bizarre because, you know, when we go back a few years earlier, I know there's less television then, but 96, 97, even 98, like I remember all of that and all the details. You know, I'm sure since I was 16, there's a lot of things that were pulling at my attention more than when I was 14 and 15, you know, 14, 13, 12, whatever. So maybe that plays into it, but it's just, it's odd because the business was so hot. And yet when I see that TV, I'm like, man, I don't remember a lot of this stuff.
As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This is Michael Rosenbaum. Hey, folks, let me tell you that drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that will change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
The World Wrestling Federation was live at the MCI Center in Washington, D.C. They had a sellout crowd of 17,867 fans per the Wrestling Observer. They announced it as 19,101 for some reason. Dave said in the Observer, don't ask me why. out of the 17,867, they had a paid attendance of 16,614, which was a gate of $540,820, and they sold $170,000 worth of merchandise at the show. It was a extremely, extremely successful night, you know, for a company that was incredibly hot in early 2000. I think 2000 was one of the most profitable years in company history to that point in time, maybe the most profitable. I did not fact check that. I think I've said that on the show before, though, that like I think 2000 was the apex, kind of the Attitude Era,
which it's especially stunning considering their top star was out for basically the entire year. Mm-hmm. That they were still doing this kind of business without Austin,
and somebody else in their top five was out for over half the year too, The Undertaker.
Yep.
Oh shit. Wow. You know, you almost kind of wonder if that maybe benefited them, that they were forced to maybe push some of these lower to mid-card guys up the, you know, up the card, especially guys that, you know, I'm sure fans like us wanted to see higher up, like Jericho and Benoit and Angle and whatnot. Yeah. So
can you tell that to the bookers in 2025?
Yeah, no kidding. on pay-per-view, this show is incredibly successful. They brought back Austin on the show, as we're going to talk about, for this kind of, well, he'd been on TV right before it too, but it was just kind of a random reappearance. He had just had his surgery and, you know, he was not very mobile, as we saw in the main event. And then he would vanish again until later in the year, but they brought him back to really pop this buy rate, and boy, did it work. They did a 1.62 pay-per-view buy rate, which translated to 593,000 domestic buys per WrestleNomics. That was a higher buy rate and more buys than the Royal Rumble did 3 months earlier. It was also higher than every single pay-per-view in 1999, other than the Rumble and Mania 15.
Wow.
And it was higher than every, remember, this is March of, or April of 2000. It was higher than every pay-per-view after this until WrestleMania 17 in April of 2001. It outdrew SummerSlam that year. And then if you go post 2001, I started scrolling. I mean, the only shows really that do more buys in Backlash 2000 is like the Rumble here and there, usually Mania, and that's about it. This was a really successful show all around.
Wow. It's stunning just because of them coming off of, you know, one of the more lackluster WrestleManias that they were able to turn the corner so quickly.
Yeah. It's all Steve Austin. That's what it says. And I think the rematch, you know, everyone had expected Rock to win the world title at WrestleMania, but instead, you know, Hunter retaining and the McMahon family drama. I mean, this was kind of the start of like the stuff we would complain about with WWF and WWE for years and year, like even up till present day, because, you know, now it's Hunter on there all the time and he married into the family. But I mean, like, the idea of it becoming the McMahon family show featuring pro wrestling on the side, like this is kind of when it started, you know, and that would be constant, you know, for a long, long, long time.
So I think we can all agree that the story of this night, obviously, you know, the buy rate tells the tale that them teasing Austin was a huge win. And, you know, him being kind of the thread throughout the night, is he going to show up? And obviously when he did, it was one of the bigger pops, you know, you've ever seen. We've done fantasy booking in the past. And one of the things that I think we wanted to change was the main event of WrestleMania 2000. But